This episode of Trophy Horrors is brought to you in part by Play31.net. Play31.net offers single tables, speed, sit and go tournaments, and regularly scheduled multi-table freeze-out tournaments with hundreds of players. Make sure to use code 1212 when registering. That's Play31.net.
Put the trophies up, it's another episode. I told you long time ago, we about to explode. The scene with something mean, supposed to be in your league. But I told that beats are awesome and that dynamic be amazing. But enough about me, yes, we all played the ball to make it this far. But honestly, when it wasn't for the fans, it would've been canned a long time ago. Bio, born on SG, grew up on CDP. Diddy mood, I didn't got it wrong, we call it PG. Rating M, I don't blame much for the violence in your household. Behold,
Trophy Hole.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Trophy Horrors. This is episode 243. I'm your host, Tricky Mick, alongside with me, the whole crew, but let's start with the man himself, Alex.
If we're not talking at least a half an hour of WWE, I'm out of here.
Peace out.
The myth, Donnie.
What up, Del Peebles, and I am already ready to go.
And the legend, I yield to no one.
You know, I was disappointed with a little bit of the pay-per-view. I mean, I was sitting there watching it, and I was like, you know, it was getting down to the final few who was going to be in there, and it's like, all right, well, the whole thing with Roman getting, you know, oh, I'm too good to be taken out on a stretcher, so I'm going to limp out, but freaking Kevin Owens goes through two tables off the top rope. He gets up and walks out, you know, but Reigns has got a limp, like, oh, I'm hurting. Anyway, that was horrible.
They're mirroring the Attitude Era with, instead of Stone Cold and Vince McMahon, it's Triple H and Roman Reigns. And I'm sorry, but I hated seeing Triple H win the title. I do not want to see Triple H win because it is the base problem that is wrong with the WWE, and that is it relies on its older stars, people who have maybe a couple years left, legends, instead of their new talent. Bray Wyatt should have won the Royal Rumble, not Triple H.
I can't disagree with you.
When it came down to one person left, we were all sitting around going, well, who's going to come out? You know? And I'm like, well, you still got H. And everybody's like, oh, forget it. And his music hit. And I was like, see? Told you.
Well, see, that's the other thing. Like, you knew what was going to happen. You knew Triple H was going to come out and he was going to win. And I know that I'm gonna call Billy out on this. Billy liked a Triple H one. He says he wants to see Triple H wrestle again. Which boggles my mind, because if you're a fan of WWE, you want to see a new crop of stars. You want to see the Wyatt family, and you want to see Dean Ambrose and Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. You want to see those guys. You do not want to see Triple H, whose prime was in the early 2000s, out there wrestling 15 years later in his mid-40s. You don't want to see that. I mean, if you want to see that, why don't you just get the WWE Network and then just watch, like, Survivor Series 1990 or SummerSlam 1999? Like, why don't you go watch that?
Old people still trying to wrestle. It's entertaining.
I mean, that kind of idea.
Well, they actually, I don't know if you guys know, but they actually changed the way the Rumble ended halfway through. I read a story that it was always supposed to be the Triple H won. But it was originally supposed to come down between Roman Reigns and Triple H at the end.
That would make more sense.
But they changed it midway because they realized that when Reigns was in the Rumble, people were booing him. So they knew that if it came down to Reigns and H at the end, that people would boo Reigns and cheer Triple H, which would completely destroy Triple H's character.
They were going to cheer whoever won no matter what, because no one likes Reigns.
But taking the title off of Reigns was absolutely stupid.
Well, I mean, look what they did with, like, in the lead-up to the Rumble. They had Kalisto beat Del Rio on Raw for the title and then had him lose the U.S. title a day later on SmackDown and then had him win it again at the Rumble.
Well, technically it was 4 days later, but yes.
Well, they taped SmackDown a day afterwards.
I know what you're getting at.
I mean, like, there was no surprise, like, to the Rumble. Like, I like what they did with the Wyatts, and as soon as, like, all the Wyatts got in there, like, Brock Lesnar comes out, like, that was great. But then, like, Brock Lesnar gets eliminated, and he just walks out, like, he doesn't go crazy.
Yeah, see,
like,
I was totally expecting when Brock stopped near the ramp and was heaving and huffing, I was like, all right, he's going to go in there, and he's going to eliminate every single one of the Wyatts, because Brock doesn't leave the Rumble that early. And he just walked out, and I'm like, what? And then I forget who came in there and, like, cleans house with the Wyatts. And I'm like, wait a second. They just whooped up on Lesnar and this guy eliminates him?
See, like, I've had arguments, like, not arguments, but, like, discussions, like, Daryl from, Remember the Loot has said that Bray Wyatt's so over that nothing that they do to him can matter. I think he's stuck in the mid-card and he's not over at all. I think fans like
him. Oh, he's definitely, no, he's definitely over. The problem is that the problem is he has a four-man faction in which every single match, they're all together. At least with the League of Nations or back in the day with Evolution or DX, they all came out separately, but they were still a faction. The problem with the other guys in the Wyatt family are just not marketable. They tried going out on their own, and you see they all came back because they're nothing without Bray Wyatt. So that's why Bray Wyatt's being held back right now.
Bray Wyatt, they tried to go out, like, have Bray Wyatt go on his own. Is Bray Wyatt really anything without the Wyatt family? Like, I don't think that character is as strong without the Wyatt family.
I think he is.
If
you market him into a way where he's always recruiting for the Bray for the Wyatt family, if you market his character that way, that's good. He may not ever get anybody else in the Wyatt family, but if you market his character and that's the way they did, because like when they took over Daniel Bryan back a year ago or 2 years ago, whatever it was, that was everybody knew it was a bunch of BS, but that at least added something to his character.
I don't know. Like, I don't think if you haven't won the title, like, I understand that people light up their lighters for him every time they come out and they like the Wyatt family.
The Fireflies.
I think that could be the one of the best factions ever in WWE, and I think they could have been one of the most dominant, and I don't think they use them right. I don't think they use them right at all. All
right. Let's do our updated trophy count. I am level 28. Total trophies of 6684 and a plaque count of 48. Donnie, since you haven't said anything in a while, go ahead.
I don't even know what my trophies are anymore. There you go. Level 27. Level 27. Trophy count is 576. Negative 33, 77 plaques.
All right, Alex.
Level 25, 4,904 total trophies and 64 platinums in 63 games.
And you got a new plat, right?
Yes. Grim Fandango Remastered.
Ooh, I just downloaded that today.
How is that game? Oh, wait. Before you answer that, Alex, you actually got a plus game, Donnie?
Clouds approaching.
I thought you were against those.
Yeah, I know, right?
I could have sworn I have said that I have downloaded a handful of them before in the past, and I have said some of them do pique my interest, and I actually said about Fandango piqued my interest about three episodes ago.
All right, Alex, what do you think of it? Is it good?
So, like, it's... I mean, do you all like adventure games?
I love adventure games.
My thing, if you like adventure games, then this... You'll like this game. My only thing about adventure games is I feel like the solutions sometimes are so esoteric that you can't, or that it's hard to progress without turning to a guide. I don't know. It doesn't even seem like the answers are sometimes obvious in hindsight. I feel like I feel like sometimes it's hard to find your way through everything in those games on your own, so that kind of takes something away from it for me. I mean, I like the characters. I like the story. It's got all the charm, the fact that Tim Schafer made it. But adventure games, I don't know. Like, The Walking Dead, Telltale's point-and-click games, well, that style of game, they do it in a way where it's not hard to progress, and it's not like you're struggling and you're racking your brain to find the answers, which, you know, can or cannot be super... fulfilling or satisfying, but I feel like this kind of game, it's not that it's bad, it's just I feel like that I have to turn to guides too much in these sort of games. I feel like the answers are, I said esoteric, I feel like they're sometimes hard to come by on your own, and maybe I just don't think outside the box enough, but I don't know. If you like adventure games, if you like Tim Schafer, this is right up your alley, but I feel like some of the time the answers are a little bit too hard to find on your own.
All right. Before we actually continue the conversation, since this is the first step of the scavenger hunt, if you're looking to buy the PlayStation or win the PlayStation 4, the code word that you're going to need from this episode is a word that Alex just said: esoteric. So write that down.
It's esoteric.
Oh, excuse me.
Esoteric.
All right, keep track of that and look for the other four clues. Hey, guys. Sorry I had to pass this in real quick. during the recording, I actually forgot to give you guys a clue to find the next code word. So here it is. Our frosty Twitch stream has come down with a case of the Mondays. Okay, so, Gil, did you do your trophies yet, buddy?
Yeah, I did my trophies. As a matter of fact, I'm playing a game right now. Can I talk?
Yeah, talk.
Okay. So, you know, it's been, I was talking about this before we started recording, so it's been 2 weeks since I was on the show. I was watching the Rumble last week.
It's been a peaceful 2 weeks.
Yeah, I bet it has. It has really been. I haven't had Tricky bugging me about, you're not paying attention. I've actually had some gaming time. My overtime in Indiana stopped, and I haven't taken any at the factory. So I've been able to kind of just sit at home and play video games the last 2 weekends, which has really been awesome. I've almost gotten 50 trophies in 2 weeks. That's like, wow. So
that
before
is awesome.
You should do this in March when we're having our trophy.
Watch. I'll be working a crap ton of overtime. You guys will have to carry me. So anyway, I was thinking that I'm going to redo my. We were doing our video game resolutions, and I came up with a better one that I was going to do. I'm still going to try to pass Tricky, but I came up with a better one, and that is I'm going to try to average a platinum a month by the end of the year.
You think you're going to be able to maintain
that? I don't know, but I'm going to try. The best I've ever done is 8 or 9 platinums in a year. So I'm going to give it a whirl. Right now I'm already at 1, so I'm good. I got a new level the last 2 weeks. I'm at level 21. My trophy count is 3670, and my platinum count is 44.
So hold on, wait. What was Tricky at, real quick?
What? Trophy count or platinums?
Platinum.
He's at 48.
48.
So you're at 44. He's getting closer to you.
One time I was within three.
He's the same. Yeah. Well, he's the same distance he's been for the last 4 months.
Well, now that he's got some extra time to play games, you better be.
Well, also you got to remember one thing. I'm not holding back for the war, but I'm
sure you're not.
Next month, during the trophy war. That 48 is probably going to go up to about 55.
Oh, so you're holding back a bunch of platinums, aren't you?
I'm not holding back a bunch of platinums. I'm just not playing certain games so I can get trophies and plats.
Oh, so he's you're holding off back simple games.
Yeah, well, he's holding off on the.
I'm gonna be rattling off platinums in the month of March.
He's holding off on the Tricky type games.
I might be averaging 2 plats a week during March.
That's a lot of platinums.
Yes, it is.
And you'd have more than 54 or 55, whatever you said before.
Well,
that.
54 is actually 6, so I'm saying 54, 55 as a low number at this point.
Those are lofty standards, sir. You better
listen. When the Loot Boys decide to challenge the big boys, they better put on their big girl panties because we come with a thunder and a lightning.
I'm still kind of nervous.
Why are you nervous?
I'm just nervous.
How are you nervous?
I'm only nervous because I might not be able to play games the way I would like to play games for this. That's all.
Well, right now, Mr. Resident Dowell's kind of nervous because their achievement war is starting in about 4.5 hours, of this podcast being recorded. And, I'm actually contemplating whether or not I should go out and buy an Expo one tomorrow. Hold on, wait.
Don't you have an Xbox One?
No, he got rid of it, remember? Because the great system crash of 2016.
Well, no, that was the 360s that red ringed.
And so did your One.
No, the One I brought back because you couldn't turn off the Xbox One and watch TV at the same time.
Well, don't hook it up to your TV set.
Well, yeah, but then it's taking up an extra HDMI spot.
Well, how many spots do you have on your TV?
4. And one's for the PS3, one's for the PS4, one's for the cable box, and the other one's for Chromecast.
I thought you was about to say one's for the Wii.
No. But I was thinking about going buying an X-Bone, because how embarrassing for the Loot guys would it be if a guy that doesn't play Xbox wins their achievement war, and then in the following month continues his dominance and destroys them in the trophy war. That would be so embarrassing. I don't think he could show his face.
You know, you're talking awful big. I hope you're ready to back this
up. But the thing about that, Tricky,
they call him Big Daddy when he backs that thing up.
But the thing about that is that that would be extremely hard for you. Because if you listen to last week's, where their Friday, where last Friday's episode of Remember the Loot,
they got their loot whooped.
They pretty much said that, and I agree, that the S-Box is what they refer to as a shooter box. And that's pretty much what all S-Box have is just shooters. And that's going to give you such a migraine, according to what you say about your health problems with shooters.
Well, see, Donnie, this is what the loot guys seem to have forgotten. Because I was just on their recent episode, episode 13, that's going to be released 2 days before this one, this episode is. But what the loot guys seem to have forgotten is that I've never really played an Xbox 360 or an Xbox. And there are achievements awarded for watching Netflix and Amazon Video and WWE Network.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, there is.
Yeah, but
so all I have to do is just turn on the system and watch Netflix and Amazon, and I'm going to get 3,000 gamer score in a blink of an
eye. Spoken like a chump.
Hey, listen, all's fair in love and war. They wanted to challenge me. I told them, I get into this achievement war, I'm going to chump the hell out of it to win. Because I know, game to game, I don't stand a chance. So I have to... So I have to resort to the method that's going to... Right. So I have to resort to the method that's going to make me win. And if I could rattle off 3,000 gamer score just by watching TV, why the hell not?
Can't say as I blame him.
Hey, what do you mean can't say as I blame him?
As much as I hate chomping, can't say as I blame the guy.
That's like saying, yeah, I'm a liar and a thief and a cheat, but I can't stand liars and thieves and a cheat.
I came out straight out and told them on their show, and all three of them, T-Bird, Frosty, and Daryl, all said we give up right now because they totally forgot about
okay,
that.
Well, I would murder every last one of y'all if I went I'm not even gonna call it a chump route, the tricky route.
The tricky route.
I would murder even my own crew. If I went the tricky route.
Well, see...
See, I could also watch Crunchyroll.
But see, why would you murder your own crew? We'd roll together, just like we are in this...
No, I'm just saying, if we go that route, if we go the chump route, I can do that. But I won't do that route. But I do plan on going back and finishing some games that I have not finished, which is not that many that I have not finished, but you know what's really going to mess me up in this game is that I am going to go back and get my attempt at the Vanquish, and that's going to suck up so much of my trophy getting time. But
isn't that like worth like 10 platinums?
I think it should be.
No, but
that's an automatic win.
I think it should be an automatic win also.
In all honesty, if Donnie gets the Vanquish Platinum, we immediately lock up Rarest Trophy.
Oh, that is true.
So that is a win in that category.
Right, because I've been mentally strategizing my plan on the Vanquish.
Pray, is that your plan?
I did a little bit of praying, but mostly I went down to the people who made Vanquish and bribed them to just
make it a little bit easier for you.
Update just my system.
Let me use a cheat code.
Update my system only without other people knowing.
Shield, what have you been playing?
So besides Trotters of Monosuma Blitz, like I said, it's been 2 weeks since I've been on the show. So I played some Fibbage. A game that was on sale a couple weeks ago in the store. It's actually a really fun party game. I've played some Guns Up. Finally got into some Hardware Rivals. I need some practice at it. I'm not that good at it. King's Quest. Finished episode 1. people, you need to play that game. It besides having Christopher Lloyd in there as kind of your narrator, the old king, it's got a lot. It's got a very strong Princess Bride vibe in the game, at least in chapter one, and it's got a lot of slapstick humor. It's really enjoyable. Fired up some Lara Croft in the Temple of Osiris. Did some Rocket League, Rock Band 4. I've been playing some Splunky. It's a really simple game, but it's kicking my tail. But it's a
I heard that game is pain in the ass.
But it's a quick little game that where you're like, you know what, I've got 15 minutes, I'm going to play something, and then 2 hours later, you're like, one more time. So I finished off Tennis in the Face, got 100% of the trophies of that yesterday, and I've been finished the story in Mafia 2, so I'm going back and getting the Most Wanted posters and the Playboy magazine, so I'll probably have a platinum in that in maybe a couple of weeks. And then I fired up Murdered Two Souls yesterday.
Murdered Two Souls?
That's for Donnie. No, Murdered Soul Suspect. I fired that up finally yesterday. That is a really good game. I think I saw it. By the time you guys hear this, it'll probably be over with. I think it's on sale for the store for
$7.50.
If you haven't bought it, if it's still on sale when you hear this, buy it. I bought it for $20. It's definitely worth $7.50. I'm enjoying it.
You know, I said that because me and the goddess, we saw that at PAX East 2014, and we sat in a panel for it. We went to a party for it. That game is good, and it got a lot of bad rep for it. But I really honestly don't see a problem with that game. It's really well put together.
Yeah,
the story's put together well.
I think I'm maybe about halfway through the game. What turned me on, I was at GameStop and they were running the trailer for it. And I'm like, what? And I watched the trailer for it and I'm like, you know what? That sounds sort of interesting. And then you played it, was talking about it. So I was like, all right, I'll give it a try. It is. I like how it's written. I just like the vibe of the game, the way it's the ambiance and the way they go between the living and the dead. It's really cool. It also sort of gave me, if you like Beyond Two Souls, you're going to like this game because it's sort of,
not the same game,
but it's similar in a way. I really like it. I think people should go play it.
I wouldn't compare it to Beyond Two Souls.
Donnie's having a problem.
Well, I know he is, but you know what? That's fine. That's Donnie's opinion. Everybody knows about Donnie's opinion.
I do like the game. I do like the game. The game is nice. I forget my gripe over it. I got to play it again because it was like two things in the game that I didn't like. The story, the gameplay is okay. It's good enough for me to stick with it, but the story is a good story. But overall, it is good, but I wouldn't compare it to Beyond Two Souls.
Beyond?
Nah, yeah. But I will say this. I do like this story-wise better than Beyond. To Beyond Two Souls story.
I don't know. I'm not at the end yet, so I can't say whether or not I agree with that statement.
Okay, well, I ain't going to say what happened, but at the end of Beyond...
Okay, don't, because I think I'd have to drive to Detroit and shoot you.
At the end of Beyond Two Souls, that was some bullcrap. Like, that kind of turned me off the game slightly, because that was a dumb ending. I ain't going to say what happened, but that was a dumb ending.
Yeah, because that's one of the games I'm playing in March.
That was a dumb ending altogether. Both ways. Or could I say both ways, or could I say all 17 ways? I don't know.
Well, I got the platinum in that game.
Alex, besides Grim Fandango, you playing anything else?
I just started playing Apotheon. It's the Greek mythology-inspired 2D side-scroller. It was free for PlayStation Plus a few months back, but I didn't have a PlayStation 4 then, so I didn't have a chance to download it. But I'm playing it now. It's like $15. I bought it. And I like it so far. It's fast. It's brutal. It's 2D. It's like a piece of pottery from Greek mythology. So it's really cool. I like the art style and everything.
All right. Anything else or just that?
Just that.
All right.
You know me. I focus on one game at a time.
Well, I didn't say. I don't know if you guys listened to last week's episode or actually heard the news yet, but we reported last week that Rocket Birds 2 has been announced.
I know. I've been paying attention to that. I am so stoked. Alex and I are going to wreak havoc in that game.
All right. Donnie, what have you been playing, buddy?
I've been playing a little bit of Metal Gear 5 just because I wanted to prove something. Well, not prove something. I just wanted to see something. You have to most definitely succeed in your dispatch missions in order for them to count. I lost one of my S++ guys on my last one, and I am highly upset. I didn't even want to do it. I did not even want to do the mission, but I did it anyway just to see would I succeed.
Well, you know you can lock players in so they don't go on those dispatch missions, right?
Well, you need it's a S. You need S++ on S missions, on S dispatch missions. You need them.
Right, but I'm saying if you have an S++, you can lock him in so he doesn't go anywhere where you could just send a normal S player.
No, that's what I'm saying. I want to send him or else I really stand no chance whatsoever.
Oh, you wanted to
send
him.
Yeah, I stand no chance whatsoever at beating that mission. But yeah, you have to succeed on it in order for that to count. So I'm kind of upset. I did replace them recently today, but I'm not doing that. It's going to be forever before I finish those dispatch missions because I want to get a whole gang of S++, which is very, very extremely hard and rare to do. But I just gotta wait. And I went back to Dead Nation. So I've been playing a little bit of Dead Nation.
That game is hard.
I wouldn't say it's hard. It just to me, it is a good game. It's fun, but I gotta play with somebody. You know, my little man, he just somebody at my age when I was him just want to get a controller in his hand and tap buttons around.
No, he's a button masher.
Yeah. So. But I expect that from him. He's a kid. They don't know nothing about game stories. They don't know how to get into that. But yeah, I think if I had somebody to really play that game with, I would have much more fun with that game. But that's it. Just Dead Space. I mean, just Metal Gear and that. Dead Nation.
All right. And I have been playing some Lego's Marvel's Avengers.
Okay. Now, I got something to pick about that. So I've been the our fans listening. So I saw Tricky playing Lego Marvel, and like anybody who's interested in the Marvel and Lego games, I said, "Hey Tricky, so how's this game like?" And Tricky goes, "It's a Lego game."
Isn't all Lego games just Lego games?
Thank you, Donnie.
I said it's a Lego game because you know it follows the same thing. One thing that I did notice about the game, which is cool, but I also feel it's a cop-out, is, as we reported many times, the game follows the movies, like the movie storyline, but it literally follows the movies. Like, you are playing movie scenes. Like, everybody here has seen Age of Ultron, yes. Right?
Yeah.
Well, I have.
Remember the opening scene of Age of Ultron? And this is not a spoiler, because this has been in the commercials, too. The opening scene where they're going to the base, and the entire opening battle, where, you know, characters are coming in, and then you got that one scene where all six Avengers are, like, falling left to right. You guys know what I'm talking about?
I think so. It's been a while since I've seen the movie.
Okay. That entire opening scene is the entire opening scene of the game. And what they did is they didn't pay the actors to come in and do voices for the game. All the voices in the game, with the exception of a few characters, are lines taken out of the movie. They did no... Huh?
Said okay.
Wow, that seems rather... So the game should be really cheap then.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like... It's cool to have Robert Downey Jr. do the voice of Iron Man, but it's literally voice clips from the movie patched into the game for the exact same scene. So it's a cop-out, but it's also, like, it's pretty cool.
Besides that, Heidi sounds highly upset when you plan a movie made into a video game when that's what you can expect. How likely do you get a movie game where it's a spinoff of the movie and not the actual movie game that you're playing, because that's rare.
Yeah, well, like I was saying, I wouldn't call this a movie game.
Dude, if it's doing exactly what the movie doing, it's a movie game.
I, Okay. I see what you're saying, Donnie. But I would not call this a movie game. Like, a movie game to me, a movie game to me is a game that's made particularly to market the movie. You like to make money off of the movies. This game just feels like this is like Lego Marvel Superheroes 2. But they're focusing on the Avengers. Like, they got Winter Soldier coming out. They got the Civil War stuff coming out. They got Ant-Man coming out. So it's I understand what you're saying, Donnie, and you're right. Because it is a movie game. But to me personally, I would not call this the typical movie game. Because the typical movie game to me is like Captain America or
That's not a movie game.
Wolverine.
Yes, it is. No, that's a video game based off the movie.
Based off the game.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's a movie.
Captain America is a spin-off the movie. It's telling you what happened after Captain America. Or I might be believing that it's telling you what happened.
But you're missing my point. No, I hear
what you're saying, but Tricky, you know what? You're right, let's move on.
I would not call, what else have we been playing? Playing Clash of Clans, and a friend of mine got me into Boom Beach. So I've been playing that. But now, here's a dilemma for you gentlemen. For anybody who doesn't know this yet, I recently upgraded my system. I bought a brand new computer. I spent way too much on it and got a new monitor. But in buying my new computer, I got a free game that I want to play, but it's for the PC. And now my question to you gentlemen, before I tell you the game that I got, should I wait for the PlayStation 4 version, or should I just play it on the PC? Because the game I got is Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Why are you acting like you're not going to chump it anyway? So just play the game, man.
But it's a PC game,
okay,
dog.
Okay, but you're still acting like you're not going to chump it anyway. If it were,
how am I going to chump it?
You're going to play this, and you're going to play that. I'm just saying, you can't.
I'm asking you whether or not I should play the PC version now.
Tricky play.
Or should I just wait until it comes out on the PlayStation 4?
Wait for the 4.
Alex, what do you think about it? Should I play the PC version?
You're
going to
say wait for the 4, man, because we're Sony.
I'm asking Alex.
I wait for the 4. Unless you just absolutely have to play it right now.
All right, so you know what? I'm going to take a week to decide. If I decide in a week that I'm not going to get it, I'm going to give away the code to
I'm going to wait to this week to decide whether I'm going to chump it or not.
I know you can't technically chump it
because you can't get trophies and then have them count towards your trophy count, but I'm quite sure if this was the Station 3 version, you would play it and still play it on Station 4 when it comes out.
I don't play PlayStation 3 versions of games no more.
Sure.
I did.
I haven't turned on my PS3.
Exactly.
I haven't turned on my PS3 in, I got to say, a year.
Okay, that's not saying you don't
play. Yeah, I know. There's a game that I need somebody to help me get the platinum with, but nobody wants to help me.
Well, when you're home, I will help you.
All right.
This is the slowest moving show ever.
Well, that's because you keep interrupting, Donnie.
I'm not interrupting.
All right, let's talk about the Division Beta. I did get into it, and I am currently playing, and I got to tell you, everything that I was worried about with the Division, totally gone.
Well, wait until you get into the, what are they calling that center of town?
The dark zone.
Yeah, wait until you get there.
I've been there. I'm in there.
And people are working together. They're not hosing each other.
Well, no, people are working together, and they're also hosing each other. It's the dark zone is, it's very dark.
Well, I'm glad it's got that going for it.
The way the game works is that there is a storyline, and the beta lets you play the first story mission, which I have to tell you, I know this is going to sound a little gross, gave me a little bit of a chubby, because the first official mission in the game is you have to go into Madison Square Garden and take and recover the hospital. And to literally run on the garden floor while you're having a gun battle, and then part of the mission is you go up into the rafters, so you're actually walking on the rafters, and you're looking down at the floor. It's just...
You never played a Spider-Man game before. You like you never played a...
To go inside the garden?
Does the floor say L.A. Kings Champs?
No, it actually doesn't say Knicks or Rangers.
Oh, okay.
But it is a basketball floor, so, I mean, the only thing that could have made it better was if there was an actual hockey rink. But in the context of the story, they could have put up a hockey rink. But, yeah, it's pretty cool. And then there's some side missions you can do. There does seem like there's going to be collectibles with the game. And there does seem to... the Dark Zone... Okay, let me explain the Dark Zone. The Dark Zone is basically the PvP part of this game. Okay, and to explain what I mean by that is... Everybody, you go into the Dark Zone and you're matched up with people that are around your same level. So you're not going to go in as a level 1 and get destroyed by somebody that's a level 10 or 11. But the way it works is there are NPC characters running around, and there's also, you know, live people running around. And you have to go through and you pick up Dark Zone equipment. And you can't just exit the Dark Zone with the equipment. You have to extract it. So there's certain parts called extraction zones in which you have to run to the zone and then you have to call a helicopter. And it takes 90 seconds for the helicopter to get to you.
The longest 90 seconds of the game.
And as soon as you call for the extraction, everybody on the map now knows there's an extraction taking place at this point. So then the extraction, you know, then the helicopter comes down, they drop a rope, and you have to run to the rope, and you have to put your stuff on the rope. Once it's on the rope, it's yours. But people can hide out, you know, there's a strategy involved with it. And the thing is you can literally shoot somebody as they're doing it, they die, you pick up their stuff, and then you immediately put it back on, you put it on the rope, and then now it's yours. So, you have to have a team with you. You have
great
to have a strategy. There's got to be a strategy.
Spawn killers.
Right. But you could also work together because the whole thing is like, if me and you, Yield, we're playing, if I'm holding the equipment, and then we call the extraction, I run to the rope and start putting it on the rope, and somebody kills me. They can pick it up and put it on the rope. But if you're also in the same area, and then you kill that person... You pick it up, put it on the rope, it still stays as mine.
Oh, okay. So if your teammate saves it, it's still yours.
Right. Now, once that helicopter takes off, if you were to kill that person and pick up that equipment, the equipment's now yours. But as long as the extraction is still alive, it stays with the teammate of the person.
Well, that I guess that ain't too hateful, but I don't know.
But if they were to kill me, pick it up, and then haul ass, and you not kill them, once they leave the extraction area, it's theirs. And if you kill them, then it's yours.
Gotcha.
But you can also, it's got that Last of Us mentality where if you're shot, your teammate can revive you. But if somebody can come over and execute you and just completely kill that. But that's also in the single player. The game looks very well put together. I mean, I'm impressed with what I saw already. The Division will get 3 paid expansions that are included into their season pass. The first one is called Underground. We'll let players explore the uncharted underworld of New York City with up to 3 friends. Expansion 2, Survival, will task players with surviving as long as possible in a, quote, a very hostile environment, end quote. And there was no details given for Expansion 3, which is called The Last Stand. As I said, all 3 of these expansions will be part of Division Season Pass, which also includes exclusive short-off shotgun, full set of exclusive outfits and weapon skins, as well as monthly unique content drops and events. There also will be free updates with the paid content, which will be available to all players and is set to add up new game modes to test players' abilities in co-op mode. The Season Pass will be included in the Gold Edition and the Sleeper Agent Editions of The Division, or can be purchased separately from the base game, but no price has been given for the Season Pass. So, I would say, everybody that was on the fence about The Division, I would say, go buy it. An idea for an Insomniac Games' latest title, Song of the Deep, it all started with a sub. This is a passion project for Insomniac Games. Have you guys ever seen the trailer for this yet?
Yeah, I saw some pictures on Twitter about it. It looked kind of interesting. You know, really mini, a small, you know, basically a mini sub. What's the premise of the game?
Well, okay, well, reading the article real quick, because I watched the trailer, but I didn't really understand it, so I'm going to read what IGN had to say about it. Concept art, which would eventually become Song of the Deep, was a young brunette girl holding the candle while overlooking the ocean. Insomniac Chief Creator Officer Brian Hastings felt that the image captured loneliness, isolation, and hope, and found himself imagining a story inspired by his 10-year-old daughter. The brunette girl became a 12-year-old Merlin who lives a happy life with her father in Ireland until one day he goes missing on his fishing vessel. Merlin has a terrible dream that shows her father trapped under the sea, so he uses her savvy to build her own submarine, the SS, I don't know how to say that, and delve into the depths of the ocean to rescue him. Along the way, she learns the songs that he would sing to her at night about the City of Gold were a real fantastical place. I don't know what the hell that was.
That was the Songs of the Deep.
Oh, okay.
Well played.
I mean, it looks cool. I mean, I guess we'll get more information. This article is way too long for me to read now. But go check out Songs of the Deep. Alex, have you seen this at all? Since I know you're an Insomniac Fans fan.
You know, I did. I watched the trailer earlier, and it looks pretty cool. I mean, the fact that it's a step away from what they've done, like it's a step away from the big console games like Sunset Overdrive and Ratchet and Clank. And Fuse, I don't know. I like that. I like kind of going back to the smaller scale games and seeing what they can put out there and the creativity. And just the fact that they're doing something new. Yes, I like Ratchet and Clank. But, you know, seeing stuff like Sunset Overdrive and Songs of the Deep, like that's – I really like to see them stretch their imagination and really work their creativity. It's definitely something that I can appreciate. And I'm interested in this game very much so, and I want to see how it progresses.
I'm not really too intrigued with this game.
Songs of the
Yeah,
Deep.
I feel like Insomniac is backtracking because what they already put out before. The story might be there, but the gameplay looks like a typical indie game.
That's not a bad thing, Donnie.
Yeah, that's not a bad thing, and this is not like one of their AAA games. They said this was a passion project, something they threw together. I wouldn't consider this an expected release from Insomniac Games.
Well,
I would say this is more like, hey, this is something we've been working on, kind of like Grandma's Boy. You know, like he's been working on his game for the longest time, and finally he just, you know, said, okay, let's ship it.
Okay,
that's the way I'm looking at this game.
Okay, I could look at it. I could see it being a passion or something like that, but okay.
All right, well, let's see if you're interested in any of these games, Donnie. PlayStation
Plus
free games.
Not interested. PlayStation Plus
has been revealed. First game that we're going to be getting is Helldivers, which I heard a lot of people are interested in Helldivers.
Oh, my goodness, man. What the heck, gamers?
What about you, Yield? You interested in Helldivers at all?
I don't even know what it's about. I mean, I've seen some pictures, but...
Go watch the video review afterwards. Oh my god, that game looks good.
Seriously?
Well, give me a description. Give me a description. Is it a twin-stick shooter? I mean...
It's a twin-stick shooter, top-down, and you're basically going onto planets and you're fighting aliens and bugs and... I really can't.
Is it couch co-opable?
I believe so.
I don't know that.
I think.
Well,
I'm
then
not
you
sure.
know what? If it's couch co-opable or even like 4-player co-op, then I might give it a try because then I know there'll be people that I might be able to. Hey, let's sit down and let's run through some levels of this or something like that on a weekend. So,
go watch the video review in the link that I put.
Okay,
and That sold me on
okay,
it.
I'm sorry. Maybe I'm not the gamer or hardcore gamer I claim to be because what the heck?
Donnie, well, there's nothing wrong with sticking to your core games like you do. But you do have to expand your mind. Like, I'm with you on the indie games. Like, I don't give indie games much of a chance until enough people say, hey, go play this game. Then I give it a shot.
But... I have indie games on my system on Station 3, and I do have PSN games on my system, but it's very, very rare. It's like the rare trophies that we have in the world. Like, it's rare as heck when I when one of them piques my interest. And I just can't see how the fun is acquired by playing that types of or those types of games.
The other games that we're going to be getting for the PS4 is Nom Nom Galaxy. It will be joined by Grid Autosport and Persona 4 Arena Ultimax for the PS3, as well as Nova 11 and Lemon's Touch for the Vita. The next story we have is, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, we updated, we reported that Platinum Games was making a new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game. Well, we officially have the official trailer, and yes, it is true. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutants in Manhattan is an official game. It's cel-shaded, and good news for Alex there, I did see Bebop and Rocksteady in the game.
It always befuddled me how Token Razar could be in Secret of the Ooze, but yet Bebop and Rocksteady were never used in the first Turtles movies in the 90s. It befuddled me. We're going to – in Michael Bay's next Turtles movie, we're going to get him.
Yeah.
Sheamus from WWE is actually playing Rocksteady. So,
oh, is he?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. So
an Irish box Rocksteady. That would be cool.
Yeah, so like they – like they're my two favorite villains in Turtles, and I imagine I'm not the only one who feels that way. So I'm glad they actually will get to be in the, not only in the movie but also in the game, because I would like to fight them.
I feel like they just brung them in here just because it's about time that they've been so absent in the Ninja Turtle world. It's like, come on, we got to finally find some way to bring Bebop and Rocksteady in here, because that poor attempt when the Ninja Turtles 2 came out, that was like a really whack attempt to bring them in here.
Yeah, here's the thing, though. Like, from so many years, they tried to reboot Turtles where they had different enemies. And, like, Shredder was always there in the Foot Clan, but you just didn't necessarily have Token Razar or Rocksteady and Bebop. Or if you're going really deep, Groundshuck and Dirtbag. You didn't have those guys, so they kind of went to different enemies. So, like, now they're kind of going back to those old enemies, which is the way it should be, quite frankly.
All right, well, the game will be coming out on Xbox One, 360, PlayStation 4, PS3, and the PC this summer. So we're not having to wait too long for it.
And that right there also frightens me because, well, I don't know, because that right there, you got our, core gamers where we hear something like years before it comes out, and we like, okay, when it comes out 2 years down the road, like, okay, they're taking their time with it. When we hear something like this, and we already know the history of this, and then we hear that it's coming out within the next few months. Like, well, I'm quite sure they've been working on it for a long time, maybe, but it's about to be out real soon. They just announced it, 3 months earlier. And that kind of gives you the doubt. That puts the doubt in your head, in my opinion. And like I just mentioned, the history that the Turtle games already have.
Well, I like the one on the NES.
The best one is still Turtles in Time for the Super Nintendo and arcade.
Turtles in Time, but that was the arcade one?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, it was one of the arcade ones, but it was the one where you fought Baxter Stockman in like a building in New York in the very first battle.
Yeah, that was the arcade one, and they remade the arcade one in the Station 3, and then they came out with another one in Station 3 with the Turtles Out of the Shadow or something like that, which was... I had high hopes for that game because it was 4-player co-op, something that the Ghostbusters didn't do. I don't know what the heck the Ghostbusters was thinking, but they gave it to us in the Turtles, and they messed it. They messed all over it. But hopefully this one, they do it right with the co-op. We got, just hopefully, I'm not going to give my money to it. Even though I am a Turtle fan, it's just that I'm not a fan enough to waste my money on the Turtles again.
Is it... So, I mean, the fact that it's Platinum Games definitely intrigues me, but is it a beat-em-up? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's a beat-em-up.
Okay, well, yes. Good.
Our next story is Sony's merging their hardware, software, and network divisions into a single company. Sony Computer Entertainment and Sony Network Entertainment have merged, creating the all-new, all-encompassing Sony Interactive Entertainment. This will bring Sony's PlayStation's manufacturers, hardware, software, and network divisions all under a single roof and will be based in San Mateo, California, while key global business operations will be still coordinated in Tokyo and London. SIE will be led by President and Global CEO Andrew Howes, who went into greater detail regarding the merge in a press release. He says, and I quote, "By integrating the strengths and of PlayStation's hardware, software, content, and network operations, SIE will become an even stronger entity with a clear objective to further accelerate the growth of the PlayStation businesses." House also continued on with saying, "Along with our business partners, SIE will develop pioneering services and products that will continue to inspire consumers' imaginations and lead in the market." End quote. According to Sony's new overview of global functions under SIE, current SCEA President and CEO Sean Layden will now oversee Sony's worldwide studios. And on Twitter, Sony's current President of Worldwide Studios, Shuhei Yoshida, confirmed that he will be reporting to Layden and that his title will remain the same.
Shuhei Yoshida doesn't report to anybody.
Yeah, technically he does.
Bullshit.
Yoshida also further confirmed that the hardware portion of the reconstruction does include PlayStation VR. What the change means for the rest of the PlayStation brand will no doubt reveal itself in time. Now, I know this is kind of like a pass-through topic because I know that we really can't talk about this too much, but what do you guys think about them actually bringing all the divisions under one roof now instead of, you know, keeping them separate?
Chaos, I tell you. You can't miss those three games together. That's going to be that's the Warriors Part 2 up in this mug.
I was thinking you were going to make a West Side Story reference.
No, you know,
Jets versus Sharks.
Yeah, we ain't about to snap our fingers and stuff like that. Then I guess hopefully we have better network service, because I figured that's what we was going to have anyway. Now that we're putting our money into the network, hopefully that I was hoping.
You're not putting money into
the
network.
Shut up. You are.
You're paying for PlayStation
Plus.
Yes,
and also your network. Without Plus,
you're not paying for the network.
Without Plus.
If you were paying for your network, Plus would have went up in price.
If you're not Plus, you can't play your multiplayer. So therefore I'm not gonna say, because I don't work for them, but again, me not being the typical stupid gamer, I'm gonna assume that some of that proceeds that they're getting from us Plus payers will go into the network to try to make it a little bit better than what it is.
You would hope that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Well, hoped, and that's why I said not the typical. I'm not going to be the typical stupid gamer. Too, like, tricky is.
Oh, snap.
That's shots fired. Rocket League Season 2 patch will introduce a new ranking system. Rocket League developer Psyonix recently revealed in detail some of the biggest changes coming to the soccer-like game in the new patch releasing next month. The patch will kick off the game's second season and focus heavily on player rankings. Quote, "The aim of Season 2 is to de-emphasize the importance of single wins or losses and put focus on where it belongs, consistently playing well and improving your game over time, not stressing over individual losses." End quote. One of the first changes will be renaming ranked play to competitive matchmaking and replacing rank points with divisions based on skill rating to reduce confusion. The divisions in Season 1 will also be replaced by 12 new ones. At the start of the second season, players will have to play 10 placement matches to determine in which skill division they fit. Additionally, skill data from Season 1 will carry over and play a large role in determining a player's final division placement. In keeping with the developers' aim for Season 2, promotions to new rankings will take place after a player has consistently demonstrated improved skill, but a more lenient system will not cause failures or losses to lead into an immediate demotion.
That's good.
I'm glad that they're actually patching it and not doing a Rocket League 2 at this point.
You know, I'm getting the vibe out of a lot of developers that they're kind of doing that with some games. You know, here's our game, and we're just going to strive to keep making this game better as long as the community's there. And we're not going to necessarily focus on another game yet. We're just going to focus on keep making this game the best game we can.
Which is the way you should do games nowadays.
Well, I think so. Now that we have add-ons and the ability to make the game better without making a number 2 or a 1.5. So,
Alex, have you played Rocket League yet?
I have not played Rocket League. Again, that's another one of those games that I missed when it was free for PlayStation.
We told you to add it to your PlayStation account.
Well, there's hearing things and there's listening to things, and I can tell you for certain that I didn't listen to things.
We know that. I'm going to say you pulled a Donnie there, but, you know, I don't want to insult you.
Look, I had no idea when I was going to get, you know, a PS4, so I rarely, if ever, log on to any of Sony's websites through, you know, or any Sony account through my computer. I will go to PlayStation Blog, yes. Other than that, that's about it.
Well, you could have downloaded the app on your phone and bought it that way.
Well, I could have, but, you know, that's kind of neither here.
2020 in hindsight?
Yeah, hindsight's 2020.
Don't beat yourself down, Alice, man. Don't worry about it, man. Don't worry about it. It ain't serious is what they say.
Donnie, have you played Rocket League?
Nah, and I didn't bother downloading it either.
Donnie lies. Rocket League is awesome. I wouldn't steer you wrong, Alex. That game is just stupid fun.
I know you wouldn't.
It's a good game.
Well, now I'm not so sure with Tricky saying it.
Well, let's put it this way. When it came to Rocket League, the Remember the Loot Boys are our bitches. Well, I'm about to give Mr. I Yield to No One a nightmare.
Oh, yeah?
Are you ready?
I'm ready. I'm sitting down.
Mighty Number 9 has suffered its third delay.
Yeah, you know, I read that.
In a post over the game's Kickstarter page, creator Kinji Infune explains the reason for the latest delay is down to bugs found in the network portion of Mighty Number 9. Quote, "Unfortunately, we have an announcement that will be very disappointing to all of you. In preparation for the February release of Mighty Number 9, we have been working hard with our publishers to resolve any network issues and important work what necessary to publish Mighty 9 on various platforms. However, the issues relating to the network modes were more critical than expected and has become apparent that we would need to delay the game from its February 9th release date. We have been working up until the very last moment to resolve these issues in order to make the February release, but it's come clear that we are no longer to have enough time to fix the issues and have everything prepared for release. Unfortunately, this is all a result of miscalculations on the part of us, the development staff. As a result, our fans who have been looking forward to Mighty Number 9 have been forced to wait over half a year longer than expected, and for that we are sincerely sorry and want to take this chance to apologize personally on behalf of the development staff." Infune goes on to say that he wants to make sure everything is ready before unveiling a new release date. As far as release windows go, spring 2016 was mentioned. "For the third delay of this game, we have no excuses for disappointing our fans and especially our backers once more. We want to take this chance to express our sincerest apologies to everyone who has looked forward to the release. Mighty No. 9 was originally scheduled to drop in North America on September 15th and in Europe on September 18th. After the first delay, the game's release date then jumped to February 9th in North America and February 12th worldwide. And as I said previously, we do not have a third release date."
He's not sorry.
Just make the game better, as good as it can be.
Yeah, you know, with all these delays, okay, they've got a third delay. I'm not overly bummed by it. What I will be bummed about is if you have, okay, you've had three delays. Your game was crowdfunded in like a day, or whatever, and
a couple hours.
If for some reason after this third delay your game is still buggy as all get out, you might as well not try to crowdfund another game. I mean, because you're never going to hear the end of it. So,
not to mention that the backers aren't even getting their perks that they were promised.
That's even worse.
You're never going to hear the end of it now.
Yeah, but it's going to be really bad if you release a game and it's buggy as all get out after 9 months of delaying it and going, "Hey, we found some bugs, we're going to fix it."
If they delayed it the first time and there was bugs, people would say, okay. But to delay it a second time and there still be bugs, there's no excuse after the third delay for there still to be bugs. Especially when you're coming out and saying that the third time you're delaying it is because of bugs. There's no excuses. So I'm with Yield on this. If it comes out with bugs, he's pretty much done in the crowdfunding section. He might get a publisher to publish his game from now on, but he's done as far as Kickstarter goes.
True.
You say that, but if he releases the game and it's really good,
No, no. If he releases the game and it's good, yeah, go back to Kickstarter. But if he releases the game now after the third delay and there are bugs, he's done.
Not really. And I say that jokingly, but really, not really, because we have gamers out there. We have people cry. The gamers cry. Again, we are the biggest crybabies out here. That's one of the biggest crybabies out here. Gamers cry. And they're going to cry some more. But if you do it again, they're going to put their money into it. Like, man, last time you blah, 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 and da, 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 but here go my money. Don't do it again. Don't do it again. But here you go, my money. But that's the way the gamers are, man. It don't make a difference. It really doesn't. Just do what you're going to do to the game. Stop giving release dates, like I always say. And just do your game, man. Just make sure. I hope you guys ain't really hoping it to be what it's supposed to be because of what's going down. I mean, don't be that naive like you always are.
But if you are looking for a Mega Man game, I will say this much. I did see that they are releasing a Mega Man Legacy game, which is, if I remember reading the description right, it's Mega Man 1 through 6.
It's already out.
Is it already? I thought it'd come out in a couple of weeks. It's already out?
No. Yeah, it's already out. Our Frosty from Remember the Loot's been streaming it on our daily Twitch page.
There you go. So if you want a Mega Man fix, go pick that up. I'm considering picking it up because I love those old 8-bit Mega Man games. Hard as heck, but they were fun.
All right, we do have a topic of the week. Now, Donnie texted me a link on my phone. Somebody is taking Metal Gear 1, the first PlayStation game, and they're redoing it using Unreal Engine 4. And they renamed the game Shadow Moses. Now, obviously, this isn't a sanctioned, for lack of official sanctioned game. Right. At any point, Konami could turn around and shut this down. But there is a trailer for it. So go Google Shadow Moses and look at it. It does look very beautiful, Don. It does.
Yeah.
We'll never see it make the light of day because there ain't no way, unless Konami decides to put their name behind it and actually get like officially attached to it. It does look good. I would definitely play it again. I've been saying that this out of all the games to port and reboot, this was definitely the game, or not reboot, but remaster. This was definitely the game that I always said in the series that should have been remastered up to HD graphics.
What I wanted to talk about most of this game is that, you know, the guy is reaching out to Konami, and I'm like, well, that's Konami sucks. And I do know that, of course, you have to say something to Konami because it is a Konami's game, but he really is trying to get a job. And I'm like, I kind of look at it as like brown nosing or kissing up just to get his foot in the door. And maybe go somewhere else because he mentioned it in the article that, well, we know how Konami are. We know what Konami has done. And, you know, I want to reach out to Konami because it is Konami's game. And not for all the, I don't want the legal stuff to drop down on me. And he is trying to get Konami to back him up on this. But that's what I wanted to talk about more so than the game.
I'm really worried about the next Metal Gear game that's going to come out, especially since Kojima's name and work is not going to be on it. I'm really worried about it. But this guy seems like he's got a real passion for the game, and he's got a real passion to make the game look good. I mean, it does look good, Donnie. It does.
Yeah, it looks nice. Of course, like I said, I will play it because, again, I am a Metal Gear fan, but I'm not looking forward to seeing this. I don't want to see it. I don't want people to waste time on this.
They're not wasting time, Donnie. Donnie, when you say stuff like that, it irritates me, and it's because of the fact that I know where you're coming from, but people want to see this, and this is a moneymaker. And
okay,
anybody that loves the series obviously wants to play the game.
Okay, then go back and play the game. I'm quite sure you own it. Go back and play it. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And yes, it is a waste of time to me. In my opinion, it's a waste of time because you could be spending that energy to make something new. Bring us a new protagonist. Bring it. No, matter of fact, don't bring us a new protagonist because that means you're remaking the game. Bring us a new, what they call it, IPs. Bring us new games. Bring us new stories. Stop taking your brain power into trying to reconstruct the story that's already been told the exact same way. So basically, you're not even taking time to even put your brain power to use. You're just remastering something that's already been made. So again, yes, in my opinion, it's a waste of time.
No, I mean, Donnie, I get what you're saying. I really do. Because I understand if you got the brain power to redo it, obviously put that brain power into something new. I get that. But, the nostalgia factor, seeing this game done in what could have been. When I see a game like Shadow Moses and I look back to what Metal Gear 1 was, all I can help thinking is, what if this technology existed back in the time when Metal Gear 1 came out? This is how good this game could have looked. And that's what gets me intrigued into these remasters and stuff like that.
And, yes, we already know. That's why we say Tron was ahead of its time, and even the first Metal Gear was ahead of its time because of what they talked about in some of the graphics, because they put out the power of the system, the platform at the time, to the max. But it wasn't out at the time. We still got the greatness of what it is. Move on to something new, please.
All right, let's move on to some housekeeping. How about that?
Yes. No remastering the housekeeping. Don't remaster that.
BrewforGamer.com is looking for some staff members, looking for some writers, podcasters, video editors, news reporters, and generalized help with the site. If you're interested in applying, go to BrewforGamer.com, click on the Help Wanted tab, and fill out the application, and I will get back to you as soon as possible. While you're there, be sure to check out all of our articles and all of our videos. Speaking of our videos, they can be found on YouTube. Also, daily making videos on Twitch. We have a daily stream from 11 a.m. to right around 1 or 2, depending on how Frosty's feeling, Monday through Thursday, where Frosty is either streaming the Mega Man Collection, or he's playing Dark Souls 2, or he's playing Bloodborne, or whatever the day tickles his pickle that day.
Ooh, that didn't sound like something the Joe viewers want to do.
Every week at Wednesday, right between 9 and 9:30, we have the New York Snark Exchange, in which three gentlemen get together, they play a game, and have a conversation about the game and everything that's going on. It's really entertaining. You guys should go check that out. If you want to get a hold of us, there are several ways to get a hold of us. The first one is our phone number. Yield.
330-PROVEN-9, 330-776-8369.
You can also send us an email, trophyhores@provinggamer.com. You can get a hold of us on Twitter, well, most of us on Twitter. You can contact the site at Proving Gamer. You can contact the show at Trophy Whores. You can contact me at Tricky Mick. You can contact Donnie at Young Twist. You can contact Alex sometimes, maybe, hopefully in the future. It's my New Year's resolution at Saundersaurus Rex.
You're failing miserably.
Well, I haven't really put forth that much of an effort yet. And you can contact Yielded. I yield to no one. Since it's all four of us are back and we haven't done it in a couple weeks, let's refresh our listeners' memories about our PSN IDs. First, we'll start with Yield.
IYIELD, the number 2, NO, the number 1, and please let me know, you're a fan of the show or the site or something. Otherwise, you're going to stay in friend request purgatory.
Yeah, that goes for everybody. That's every single one of us. We have that rule. Alex.
Raise Havoc, RAISEHAVOK.
Donnie.
YUN, oops. That's everything else besides the station 3. THATDTN, that DTN.
And I am Tricky Mick. That's TRICKYMIC.
MOUSE.
There you go. I expected you to do it, but thank you. If you listen to this podcast, we greatly appreciate it. But be sure to check out our other podcasts. Remember the Loot, who are our Rocket League bitches. And also PG Spoilers. There are three currently planned shows. stay tuned to our Facebook page to check them out to see when they are. The three shows planned are, we are going to spoil the hell out of The Phantom Pain if we can ever get that show off the ground. Two tries down, one to go. If we can't get it the third time, we're not going to do it.
Well, stay tuned the other for show whatever being talk if we don't get it the third time.
I might come on whatever talk with you, Dottie. The second show being planned is for The Force Awakens.
Woohoo! So
we need to talk about that.
I will be asleep in.
And the third show is, can't announce it yet, but I guarantee you, you're going to want to be a part of that one. So be sure to check our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/provengamer for all the information there. And while you're there, please hit the like button. All of our podcasts are found on iTunes, Stitcher. Oh, excuse me. I'm so sorry, Donnie.
Yeah, I wasn't going to say nothing. I just say it. You just disrespected me.
No. It's not in the agenda, and I did have a brain fart. I'm sorry. We do have one other podcast. Donnie, what's that other podcast?
Whatever Talk.
Yes, we officially brought Donnie's passion project onto Proving Gamer.
Yes.
So we also have Whatever Talk.
It may be leaving again after episode 41 goes up.
All of our podcasts are found on iTunes, Stitcher, and your various podcast applications on your smart devices, and coming soon to Google Play when they launch their service. Even Whatever Talk's going to be on Google Play.
Sweet.
So that is going to bring us to the end of our housekeeping, but we do have some sponsors. Yield, tell us about how to GoFundMe.
Go to GoFundMe.com/ProvenGamer. Got some trophy-themed donations, trying to raise some money to get better podcasting equipment to bring you, the fans, a better podcasting experience. And if you donate enough money, Donnie will send you a love song.
And Alex, it's been a couple weeks.
I'm a little rusty. I don't know if I can do this. So Extra Life is an annual gaming event. It's a marathon. It's 24 hours. You play video games for 24 hours, and you get sponsorships and donations from friends, family, and coworkers, anyone you know you're comfortable asking to donate. And you pick a Children's Miracle Network hospital of your choice, hopefully one in your town or near you. You sign up. You can either join a team, start your own team, or play alone. And you collect donations, and all the donations that you collect go 100% to the Children's Miracle Network Hospital that you represent. It's a great way for you to do something you enjoy, but also help out needy children who could use a little helping hand every now and again. You get to have your cake and eat it too. And how many times do you get to do that?
Everything from A to Z from our other sponsor, Donnie. Yes, we are sponsored by Amazon, the great people who are funding the contest that we're running for the Xbox One and PS4. Be sure to go to Proving Gamer first. Anytime you do your Amazon shopping, click on any Amazon link and continue to normal shopping. It doesn't cost you anything extra and does help out the site tremendously. So, with that being said, let's close out the show with some shout-outs. Flipping the coin, Donnie, go first. Your shout-outs.
I'm going to give a shout-out to the listeners. You guys are amazing!
Just like that voice.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to the show. Thanks for listening to Whatever Talk. Also, it's new. Go to give us it a warm up to you. You guys will like it. I think again promoting my show on Trophy Horrors. It's a talk show that's taking you out of the video game element. If you had enough of the video game stuff, you can come on to Whatever Talk and just listen to whatever it is we're talking about.
And go listen to episode 10 when I schooled
Donnie. Yeah, episode 10 is where we got tricky on. It's a good one. Be on the lookout for episode 41 will be in the next 2 weeks where we're mentioning tricky.
You know, I got to say, Donnie, the week that I was on was the only time that the episode received bonus content.
Oh, that's because at the time, I really didn't want to get into the political stuff, and we get into the political stuff anyway, but I took it out. I took the whole political conversation out and made that the bonus, decided to make that the bonus.
Go listen to episode 10 of Whatever Talk. Like, I'm not trying to toot my own horn here, Donnie, but I think that was the episode where people get the real sense of who Tricky Mike
is. Well, yeah, that's why, and that's how I mentioned it. Like, I was so shocked at the whole having Tricky on there because it was not like what you hear Tricky on Trophy Horse, because we're kind of centered around video games, and I was like, cool. I was happy to get this type of tricky and not the what we usually get tricky.
So it was the PAX tricky.
Nah. Mm-mm. Nope.
No?
Just listen to it. but in my PG, thanks for giving me the opportunity to bring whatever talk on there. What Tricky fears is that there's no beeps in it. So.
All right, Alex, your shout-outs.
As always, I want to give a shout-out to the listeners for being fantastic and awesome and all the good fuzzy things that I like to say about them. You guys help drive this show, and we can't thank you all enough. I want to give a shout-out, of course, to all the fellas, Tricky and Donnie and Yield, for joining me this week and, you know, as we try to do every Sunday. Lastly, I want to give a shout-out to I'll give a shout-out to Tim Schaefer as well for Grim Fandango. It's always nice to get to play a Tim Schaefer game, even if it's an old new game. and finally, as always, my love, Christina. Thank you, sweetie, for always supporting me in everything I do, Trophy Whores and beyond. I love you very much, and I'm just so
beyond
man, so happy.
Them guys are going freaking suit us. Happy, so.
Do you know there's actually a trophy in the new Lego game, which I thought was really funny? There is a trophy in the new Lego game called Beyond. And in order to get the trophy, you have to play as Adrian Killian, which is the villain from Iron Man 3. You have to play as him, you have to die and respawn, and you get the trophy. The ironic thing about the trophy? Greg Bilger does the voice of the character.
Ah, sweet.
I like that.
Sweet. That is really, that's really nice.
Yield your
shout out. A shout out to the fans, as always, for spreading the whoredom that is Trophy Horrors. T-shirts and hats coming soon.
I forgot that in the housekeeping.
You forgot that in the housekeeping? Oh, and I was just being silly. a shout out to you guys for recording, and a shout out to Tricky and Donnie, an extra one, for holding up the show last week. Why Alex and I went and watched the. The pay per view.
Just so you know, we recorded early last week, so I watched the Rumble too. I set up the stream, live streaming the Rumble on our Twitch page. Somebody got upset and reported us for it, and we got banned for 24 hours on Twitch for broadcasting non gaming content.
Breaking the law.
But here's my point. Okay, I screwed up. I made the decision. I'm the one that got us banned. Fine. That's on me. But here's my question to you guys. You guys come across Twitch TV, and you don't have the WWE Network, and you don't want to pay $60 for the pay-per-view, and you come across a free stream of the Royal Rumble. Why the hell would you report it?
I would. I'd be like, man, way to go. You're awesome. Do it again next month.
That 99.9% of people were saying, Thank you. And then one person reported it, and I got an email. Your account's been suspended for 24 hours due to a report.
Oh, well. A twerp you to that dude.
Stupid gamer.
I was giving everybody a free Rumble.
Stupid gamer.
Oh, and...
I'm sorry. I cut your shout out.
And the upcoming Trophy War, what side are you on?
I want to give a shout out to the goddess who's sitting behind me playing Legos Marvel's Avengers, annoying the crap out of me. Give a shout out to Sweet Mama D, who I love you very much, baby. Give a shout out to my horseman brothers, who are going to whoop the Loot Boys in just over a month, in 28 days or 29 days. Is there a leap year this year?
Yes.
So in 29 days. And I want to give a shout out to the listeners. You guys, definitely bring the awesomeness. One thing I did forget in the housekeeping is we are currently selling a Remember the Loot shirt.
Which they need a congratulations, because they got a shirt and we haven't even got a shirt, and we've been around for 243 episodes.
Well, that's what a good, owner of a website does. They push the marketing of the other products. Like, we're so awesome that, you know, I know people want our shirts, but we need to sell their shirts so people can actually find out about their show, where we don't need people to find out about our show, because we're the number two PlayStation podcast on the internet.
That's true. Been there, done that, bought the t-shirt.
Go to booster.com / remember the loot. I think there's hyphens in between remember and the loot. So
put it on Facebook page.
Yeah, it's on the Facebook page. I will also be including the link in the summary after Alex is done writing his awesomeness. Yeah, go check out the shirt, and if you like it, purchase the shirt, and so we can set some more up in the future. We have some designs. We have some Trophy Wars designs planned. Some remember the other remember the loot signs. We actually have a concept idea that I think my horseman brother saw for our upcoming Trophy War. So you can buy the shirt of the team that you want to win.
Team Whore.
So go check all them out. With that being said, go buy the shirt. The link will be in the description. The link is on our Facebook page, and the link will be on Proven Gamer in some way, shape, or form by the time the show comes live. So, until next week, if there's nothing else, happy trophy hunting.
Whatever.
Peace out. Later.
You done made it to another one. Replay. Oh, download another one. Continue your hordeum. Or you can go and do a tricky man and chop it. However you do it. Just to get the ray and leave a comment. And thanks for getting listen to the show. Now it's time for me to go. Peace out to another episode.